Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, interesting people pop in to rent something. We go through the films that they've loved across their life, and we are just here to help you figure out what you could be watching on streaming platforms and out in cinemas. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV? Good morning, fellas.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
who just went, uh-huh?
Mm-hmm. Me, I did.
Was it you?
I panicked.
Paris Hilton mode.
Yeah. How's it, Perrin?
Hi, how you doing, man?
Good on yourself.
Good.
How you, Gaddy?
I'm good, Rusky. How are you, Russell?
I'm great, man. I'm great.
Yeah, we never ask you. Hey?
Yeah, no one ever asks me how I am.
We just assume you're great.
I'm doing just fine. Thank you. And hello to all of those who've wandered in. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for choosing our video store.
I'm glad you got that neon sign just bringing the people in.
Yeah, that's how we get the customers. That and also our interesting guests and our interesting customers who pop in to rent something. This week is Glenn Benham and Pam. He's an actor. He's a comedian. He has done some stand-up in the past. He makes interesting stuff. He's a funny dude. I must say, I get his humor. And so he's going to pop in a moment, and then stick around for after that. We'll have a little chat about some of the things that we are watching this week, but not for too long. Our main chat on a Tuesday is when we really get into the meat of what we're watching. Before we get going, I just want to make a quick announcement for all those browsing, all those in the aisles of our video store. Just a quick little one. I'm going to press this button.
Attention all customers. This is just to let you know that we are running a special promotion with our friends at Duis Wine. So if you hop on over to duis.wine, you can get 15% off your order if you use the promo code VideoStoreDuis. But the big thing is you've got to choose the pickup at the Bioscope. So here at the Bioscope Cinema, we allow you to pick up your Duis wine for free to save on shipping if you live in Joburg. So you've got to choose that. But if you use Video Store Duis, you can get 15% off that order. Okay, magic.
Have you guys got something to keep you busy while Glenn pops in?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You got a book?
I do have a book.
What are you reading at the moment?
All the Pretty Horses by Cormac McCarthy.
All the Pretty Horses?
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Sounds whimsical.
It isn't.
It isn't.
Okay. Yeah, Cormac's quite fucking dark.
It's quite intense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he did No Country for Old Men.
Oh, okay, yeah, that explains that. Gaddy, are you going to be fine?
Yeah, I'll play Scrabble or something on my phone.
All right.
Yeah, we don't talk to each other.
Well, you guys are still getting to know each other, the friendship will blossom in time.
I'll start a new game with Perrin.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll join. Cormac can wait. Scrabble it is.
You get some good words and then you can use them in Scrabble games.
All right. This is Glenn popping in to rent something.
Podcasting. Is this one of those podcasts that you don't know that you've started recording and then you're like, have we started? Have we started? And then they've started, but actually...
We have started.
Ah, I thought so. I knew it. I knew it. I love it. I love those very natural
types. Yeah, that's what I've always chosen to do.
Yeah.
As opposed to too much of like a question, answer, yes. Question, answer.
Can I ask a question?
Go for it.
What is your favorite podcast?
I fluctuate between... I like a bit of Armchair Expert.
Okay, yes, I've heard of that, yes.
WTF.
With Mark Maron.
Mark Maron. A bit of Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, big fan of Conan and the boys. And Smartless also is quite a fun one.
I want to do Smartless. You got to pay for it, right?
I think so. Yeah, I'm not sure. I have so much money, I don't know where it goes. I'm joking. No, it is. It's Wondery. It's Wondery Plus or whatever. I think it's like $120 bucks a month, but very highly recommended.
Yeah.
And this podcast as well for all the listeners. Well, they're already listening, so you don't need to promote your own podcast. But anyone out there who's looking for a podcast, this is
the one. Yeah. This is the one.
Yeah, shout out.
How are you, man?
geez, I'm doing great. I'm really doing well. You know, emotionally, I'm feeling good.
Feeling balanced.
I'm balanced. The year has got off to a great start. We've done some fantastic work business-wise with my production company.
Yeah, tell me about that. What's it called?
Panther Punch.
Panther Punch.
Yeah, yeah. It's a name generator used by Wu-Tang Clan name generator with myself and my partner, Ali.
Yeah.
And we put our two names in there and it gave Panther Punch. So it started out with just us doing sketches. We were both comedians and then we decided to kind of call it a day a couple of years apart from each other. It's a very difficult profession.
To be a stand-up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's feels like it's very much a time and a place. Yeah. Very important. Because I think comics use a lot of comedy to like work shit out. Yeah. So it's like if you've got your stuff worked out, you don't need to do it
that
much.
Definitely part of it. Absolutely. That's very much part of it. It's also a very solo thing. You're very alone a lot of the time.
It feels lonely. Where with like a band, it's great. You got all this camaraderie, whether you like the guys or not, you've at least got the company.
Exactly. And so imagine going on tour and doing all the stuff and being backstage and hotels and planes and, you know, all that, but just on your own. That's what stand-up is. And then also on stage, you're on your own. There's no one to go like, hey, check that.
Or
you
take over for a bit. I'm going to chill for
a
bit.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Which is so, in many ways, you guys won the stage contest. I think we like to think that we are rock stars, and they are in many ways. I mean, there's also camaraderie among the comedians, beautiful brother and sisterhood.
Yeah, no, you feel that.
Yeah. So Ali and I called it a day, and then we still had needed some sort of creative output or somewhere to put jokes or, things that we found funny or pissed us off about the world. Which is a lot of what comedy is. And so we started Panther Punch just as like a content creation thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to make people laugh. And then brands started to want to get involved. And then it became kind of semi-commercialized. And then TV commercials came along. And then we sort of decided to actually set up shop and call it an actual thing. And yeah, and make it a production.
So some of the stuff has been quite big budget, eh?
Yeah, well, now we're doing real TV commercials and have done for the past couple of years. I think we're a COVID baby, about 4 years old.
A coronial.
Yes, a coronial. So we are, we're doing, I mean, you can, check some of the stuff out. A lot of it is real, just straight up TV commercials. Every now and then we try and make our own thing.
Okay, are you in them? Is that part of the agenda? Is that you're going to try and be in them?
Well, the TV ads are just, just normal. I wouldn't say boring, but straight down the line TV commercials we're not in. Like now we've just finished up the Toyota Hilux ad, which is just the classic,
I just love how you came in from such a funny, unique, organic angle. You didn't sort of go to film school and want to set up this thing. You came at it through comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is lovely.
Yeah, it's bizarre how we ended up, how I ended up in this industry. I mean, obviously from acting, so, having acted in a lot of commercials and in a lot of TV and film and things like that, the world sort of was built around, but I always wanted a little bit more out of it. It's all very well arriving and on set and you get your makeup done and you get into wardrobe and you go and get told where to stand and you get coffees brought to you and stuff. But I was always wanted to know, like, what are they doing? What are the guys behind the monitors? What's the bigger picture?
That eagerness to learn is just so great. And of course, you now have just given yourselves more options in life.
Yeah.
But it's amazing just that eagerness, like you saying, I wanted to know what happened and how does that work and who's that? I'll never forget a staff member at the Bioscope, which is my main thing.
Yes.
Having this kind of new staff member arrive, and he was standing next to me for some menial task. He had to like fetch something or do something, but I was busy working. And I just noticed him like looking at me, like just had his head cocked in such a way to go like, what's he doing? How does that work? What's going on there? And I noticed this and I was like, all right, you're gonna be a manager.
Wow.
Like, I can see it. Like you're not just taking the instruction. You're actually inquisitive to go like, and so then I was very quick to gravitate to him to go, okay, now you need to learn this skill. You need to do this skill. And Wow. You've realized you've upscaled him to a manager, but it was all because of that one little look where it was like, what are you doing?
That's amazing.
How does that work?
And that's a that's a lesson to be learned out there for the for the, for those who are looking to climb the ladder, so to speak. Show a bit of interest, make a bit of a bloody effort.
Yeah, it's amazing how just such a small little move just did so much, I think, for his life. But the comedy stuff's fun. I've enjoyed it. What, you know, your output. The bicycle thing was fucking hilarious. Think bike.
Yeah, think bike. Those guys are absolute lunatics. Love those characters.
As Short Straw, we've long since made jokes about like how dickish cyclists are.
Yes, they are. And if there are any cyclists.
Such arrogant fucking dudes. Because, you know, your average bike is like 80 to 100,000 rand.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not like a humble dude.
No.
You don't take no well.
No, exactly.
And then there you are like at a, you know, really pivotal time in a commute, taking up space.
There's so much. I don't know how they find joy in it. They're so angry all the time. They're just constantly shaking their heads. Just, you see that helmet just like shaking. Why are they wearing the Spider-Man costume? Do they really have to wear such tight? Is it making them go that much faster? Who are they competing against?
And of course they have to shave their legs.
And they say, it's because when you fall. When you fall, you fall. It's cuck either way. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand why they come into the coffee shop. You know, or the breakfast thing with still the spandex, that should be illegal. Yeah. You can literally see their what religion they are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's quite literally.
That was Robin Williams. Hey,
I think so.
Yeah, when he's talking about the ballerinas.
Yes,
the pants so tight you can tell a man's religion.
There you go. Old RW.
And they my sister is actually a very accomplished cyclist. She I found out the other day. She actually came about like third or fourth in the Argus in tandem.
Oh, wow.
But I've long since joked with her that cyclists really only have one adjective, which is awesome. How was the bike ride? Awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
And the weather? Awesome. They and the road? Awesome. Yeah. Everything's awesome.
I don't know. I've never spoken to one. I hope not to ever in my life. But send her my regards. I'm sure she's a wonderful person.
She's lovely. She's lovely. And thankfully, she has a few more adjectives in her vocabulary.
I'm sure she does.
What is the big thing for you, apart from the more day-to-day production stuff? It's that show, right? Last One Laughing. Have you done it?
Oh, yes. That's out. Yeah, that's out on Amazon Prime for those who are interested. It's a fantastic concept. It's an existing show, which has been aired in multiple countries, different. There's the German one, the Australian one, the Irish, whatever, and each, basically, the structure of the show is that it's 10 comedians or comedic actors who are in a house, basically like a Big Brother situation, and you are not allowed to laugh or smile for what, basically, 6 hours. Well, in fact, it's about 10 hours of filming time. But you also have to make each other. You can't just sit in a corner and avoid eye contact, because when push comes to shove, you have a certain amount of, call it, kills on your card. And if you haven't made anyone laugh, then you go out. So on top of that, you come up with sketches and skits. There's a stage in the house, and you have to, there are about 3 or 4 sketches that you've prepared in advance with writers and things. And you have to try and perform as many of those as possible, because that's a great way to get people out, because they have to watch.
If you make the person laugh, do they have to leave?
They get a yellow card first, and then they'll get a red. And there's always a host of the show. In this case, it's Trevor Noah.
Which is wild.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And we didn't know, no one knew who was going to be in the show, nor did we know who was going to be hosting. They kept us very isolated. It was extremely confidential, serious NDAs. We were like escorted from from the airport to the hotel, and at different times staggered into dressing rooms. And on the first day, when we were introduced to each other, we literally arrived in the house not knowing who it was, who was in the house. And then the last person was Trevor, which was pretty wild. I kind of had an idea, because there was like a lot of security around. I was like, Jesus, this is like a lot.
Yeah, we're not going to do this for for everyone.
Yeah, so he sits in a kind of a control room. Okay. And he watches, well, they've got obviously judges who are watching. There's like 150 cameras around. So, but he kind of gets told, or he sees someone laughing. He presses the button, the lights go off, then we can relax. He comes in, we watch a replay of the laugh, cool. And he goes, there you go, whoever, Jason Goliath, that's a yellow card for you, and then the next one, you're out.
That's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
But you shot it, it's one day.
Yeah, well, yeah, basically over 2 days, yeah. But one day is the game. Well, the first half day was just the introduction, seeing Trevor, him announcing the game, the rules and everything. Yeah. And then we cut, and then the next day was the game from the start all the way to finish. It was about 11 hours of filming, which was terrifying. I mean, it's really hard to concentrate for that long. It's like being out in a kind of a test match batting.
Yeah.
You just can't, you know, because also when you're trying to get someone to laugh, you get yourself to laugh as well. That's the hardest part of it. So it's a really great game. Really
cool concept.
Cool concept. And then the Canadian one's really funny. Australian's really funny. Irish is really great. So.
Is it all out?
It's all out, yeah. 6 episodes on Amazon Prime.
Okay, so can we talk about how well you did?
Well, we don't want to spoil too much. Yeah. Okay, so, okay. I mean, I can tell you later.
Yeah, exactly. I want to watch it now.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. I'd like to hear your feedback.
That's cool. What was Trevor like?
Trevor was fantastic. He's a comedian, so he chatted to the comics. He naturally gravitated towards us. There's 5 comedians and 5 kind of actors, and we just kind of, it's like hanging out at a gig, you know, really. Mm. He was pretty professional. I mean, he's, you know, once when we cut, he goes. He's not sticking around. But yeah, man, I mean, he knows us from like over the years. Every now and then we would one of us would open for him, or he'd come and pop in to a gig at Kitchener's or whatever it is. And, you know, so over the years we've met a few times.
Yeah.
Just a lekker guy. I mean, yeah, just a normal dude, as you can imagine. No, like any of these celebrities are just normal O's. Like, I think he just played PlayStation in his dressing room until he was called. And then, but consummate professional. And there was a time in the game where I had to put in an earpiece where I had to say everything that he said. Put a wig over my ear so no one knew why I was saying what, and I had to say and do everything that he needed to say. He said to me, which was quite a surreal experience, having one of the best comedians in the world
like in your ear,
in my ear, which was a pretty special experience. Yeah,
some actors actually use that on set to remember their lines. Like I think Robert Downey Jr. is famous for doing that.
Yes.
Doing the earpiece like it's a thing.
I've heard that. And one of my friends in a commercial.
Bros can't even remember their lines.
Yeah. Yeah. But how do they hide it? Is it wig or something?
I don't know. I think it must be just angles.
Yeah. That's crazy, hey? That's
weird, hey?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Because you would think, like, for that amount of millions, like, remember your fucking lines, man.
Yeah, dude, just...
like, that's not that hard.
Learn your lines, man. Yeah, my friend in a commercial did it the other day, and I couldn't believe it. I must actually ask him about it. It's crazy. No, this was... Yeah, there was a wig, so anyway.
What have been some of the fun acting highlights for you?
A clear favorite for me has been the Tully series, Tully Babe series. Yeah, that's really a special one for me. I mean, it was the perfect environment. We were able to create our own kind of characters and dialogue. Yeah. Ari Kruger, who's the director and one of the creators, he gave us a lot of freedom on set to explore and to really like find the comedy. And the character Rail, who I play, is just so much fun. He's a chancer. He's like overconfident. He's like a version of
Jewish.
He's so Jewish. He's extremely.
Such
he's a
good Jewish boy.
Good Jewish boy. Like all the parents love him, but he's a hustler. And
Rail.
Yeah, Rayleigh, old Rayleigh. And made some great friendships. Unfortunately, I didn't get to act much with Tully with Julia.
Yeah.
So we didn't hang out much, but you know, with Anton, who's a fan, he's a good friend from school. In fact, we went to school together. He was 2 years above me. He was great in it. You know, we got Kate Pinchick in there, who's a fantastic comedian. I'm sure she's been up.
Oh, that's right. She's been at the Bioscope. Mm,
yeah, she's great. So that was a lot of fun. I mean, geez, I could do that my whole life if I could.
In my objective view, the Tully show was one of the first South African productions I saw where it felt very authentically South African, like very authentically real.
Mm, mm.
Where I think we tend to sometimes do ourselves quite contrived, and it doesn't always land. We're South Africans. You know these people are naturally funny. You know these moments are naturally funny, but they just need one to be able to sort of swear if they need to, just talk a bit more genuinely so it doesn't feel like a episode of Suburban Bliss. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we can be a bit cringy ourselves when we're too contrived.
Absolutely, that's a great point. The mockumentary style definitely helped it
feel more real.
And the writers were really great structurally. That's what I said is that the real weeds, the stuff you need to hit, you know, your kind of character arcs and the A and B line and all that stuff. Yeah. That was at a great framework.
It's been thought through properly. Yeah.
Yeah, really talented, proper, like educated writers who are putting in the hours.
Smart and educated. Yeah, it's amazing how much intellect plays a part in comedy, so much more than people think.
Absolutely, man.
Like, you really have to get to the bottom of why that is funny.
And yes.
And that's not being a fool or being a bit silly. Like, it's being fucking smart.
Smart, exactly. And and like you say, being relevant, and you know, people with comedy, what you're looking for is people saying, ah, yes, I do that.
Yeah,
that's me.
That's me. That's totally me. Yeah.
I've got a cousin who's like Tully, or like all my friends like Rail.
We all know Rail.
Yes.
Did you ever watch the original Kings of Comedy? It was a Spike Lee movie that came out like in the 2000s.
I don't think
late 90s, 2000s, and it's just all the big famous comics. And the one was about one little moment was about, and it was filmed in this big stadium. Very active people, like often standing up, often dancing in moments. And I can't remember who it was, but one of the comedians made a joke about how white people just sort of go straight to a problem. What is it? What's going on here? You know, they just put their head in where a black person doesn't need any invitation. If other people start running, they're going to start running. Like,
yes, that's so funny.
And it cuts to this person in the audience, and she just goes, I'd be gone. And it's just so true. And what makes that so funny is that, like, thousands of people in that moment just identified. They were like, that is so true. What a smart observation, where if there's something going on, your average white person would stick their head in it.
Towards the problem.
Yeah. Yes. What is going on? How can I, you know, who can I beat up? Or how can I help?
How do
Where other folks are like, I'm just going to get the fuck out of here.
Absolutely. That's hilarious.
I don't need to find out. I don't need to know who it is.
No.
I'm just going to go.
That's so true. I'm so black in that way. I am away before there's even someone's voice has been raised.
Yeah.
There's a snake, if there's a fight, there's any sort of danger, I am so far away.
Yeah.
I take pleasure in that.
No, I am a bit risk adverse as well.
Yeah.
We do a little thing here at the video store. We as a way to get to know you a bit better, we go through your life as a little snapshot, but we do it through the lens of what films you've loved across your life. We've got the four great loves that we speak of at the video store, and the idea is to get to know you by the films that have come at certain points in your life. So where did we grow up?
We grew up in Cape Town.
Nice.
In the dusty suburbs of Camps Bay. It was rough. It was a dog eat dog. A pedigree eat pedigree kind of situation. Yeah.
Lovely.
No, cheapest. Yeah. You had to, tooth and nail, really.
Really, just to make those ends meet.
Yeah, cheapest. No, I mean, the video store down by the Codfather, beautiful sushi place. I remember it clearly, and we used to go down there. We used to, with my dad and my brother, and cheapest. Yeah, I mean, it was. I'll never forget that place, really, honestly. I mean, that it was, you know, St. Elmo's Pizza, which I don't even know if you guys had in Joburg.
Never got it.
It was bombed subsequently. So, there was a huge bomb in Camps Bay on the strip there. We used to go, but this was much later on, before we'd go. St. Elmo's.
When was the bomb?
Bomb was probably in the early 2000s. I think it was some underworld, Cape Town underworld thing. It was crazy.
I do remember that.
Yeah, no one ever went to it. Quite literally, yeah, bombed the business. sorry, no, I don't mean to make fun of it.
But what
it
was, so? What got bombed?
The St. Elmo's,
which is the pizza place.
That's okay. Where we used to go and get out. So we'd order the St. Elmo's.
Pizza
then,
in a movie, baby.
Pizza in a movie.
That's the Bioscope's model.
Love it.
That is literally the Bioscope's model.
Absolutely love it.
It's, why would you not eat pizza while watching a movie?
I mean, it's they go hand in hand sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
So we'd go there, we'd go down to the video store, and what did you ask me?
Oh, so I haven't quite asked it yet, but the question is, what movie came to you in that point? We call it the puppy love film, which is like primary school or even earlier.
Yeah.
But the one, at least one that made an impression on you as a kid.
Wow. You know, it's such a tough one because I mean, one can't help but think about the sports movies, the Cool Runnings.
Oh.
You know, yeah. That was really.
Anything by Dougie Doug in the 90s. Remember that guy?
Yes, yes. Was that Mighty Ducks as well? Or
I don't know whether he was in Mighty Ducks. He was certainly in Cool Runnings. He was in
the big guy.
No, he was the skinnier dude. Santa, you're dead.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
And he had the egg. He had the lucky egg.
Yes.
He was in Operation Dumbo Drop.
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes.
I'm trying to think what else Dougie Doug was in. Yeah.
Definitely those. The Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings is lovely.
We used to watch that on repeat. I mean, loved it so much.
You
I think
can
that's
quote
where,
it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so nostalgic. And you know, we had, there's so much comedy back then, you know, it was all comedy for us, you know, there was going back to like, fuck, sorry, can I swear on this?
Yeah, no, I don't know whether you've heard me swear all the time.
Jim, you know, all Jim Carrey stuff,
yeah.
You know, The Mask and Ace Ventura, and you know, like his beautiful Adam Sandler. I mean, geez, The Wedding Singer, come on.
Wedding Singer's amazing.
Jeez.
It's one of the more underrated because he was slightly more serious.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
He started showing signs that he can act.
Yes.
A bit more. He's not like
yes.
an absolute fool. Like,
goofball.
Like
yeah.
Happy Gilmore and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, I really respected him for that. And it was the first time that I saw like, oh, wow, is this, he's an actor and he's a comedic actor, but he can also sing. He's singing those songs. I didn't really understand it at the time, but I really liked that. Like you could see that. Beautiful, you know, it was kind of the first, like, I guess, rom-com that I, like, understood and got into. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but when was it, like, 90s? It was still in the 90s.
Yeah.
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 Okay, but that's the kind of era. How old are you now?
I'm 35.
35. Okay, so you're just a little bit behind me.
So 1988, yeah.
Okay. Right. 85, baby.
You are?
85. I was born 85.
Okay.
So I thought I was turning 38, but I'm actually turning 39 this year.
Okay, yeah, that does get up on you like that.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, shit. This is the time where we need to start to do the finger up bum and all that. I'm dreading that.
Start thinking about the prostate.
Oh, my God, I'm so dreading that. I don't know about you, but I think about it often.
Do you?
Yeah, like a lot of the time. And I'm just, is there no other way that they can do it? I mean, when it's not in a...
Surely, like, you know when you go to the airport and they can scan you?
Yeah,
like, can't we see the size
please.
Of the prostate there?
I mean, they've got to have a better way than that. I'm really not enjoying
it. So you obviously didn't do any experimenting in varsity.
No,
You didn't discover your sexuality.
No, listen, when it's, you know... When
you didn't
it's...
explore your sexuality.
When it's by and it depends who it's from. If it's a guy in his mid-60s, then probably no, I didn't do any of that. So we get in older.
So we
have to choose one.
No, we don't.
Okay.
But
I
maybe
would say Cool Runnings.
Let's go with Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
It was a true story, so it's lovely to actually, I implore anyone to go down a little wormhole to actually see some of that stuff. A lot of it's on YouTube of the actual Jamaican team.
Ah, I did not know that.
It got Disney-fied in many, many ways.
Yeah.
Obviously. But there were, you know, there were these real dudes that did it.
Yeah.
And they actually participated in many other Olympics as a result.
Subsequently.
Yeah, and there was a woman team that did it rather recently. So that's why at the Bioscope we brought it back as a classic movie Sundays, because there was going to be a Jamaican team again recently in the last like 3 or 4 years.
Jeez, incredible. That's so fantastic. And yeah, I mean, No one knew what bobsledding was.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, it was, you know, and it was the journey of the film was, you know, about what the theme was is, you know, like what it's about is this team who's trying to compete in, you know, in the Olympics and do well in the Winter Olympics. But actually what it is, it's about staying true to your roots and be who you are.
Yeah.
And those
don't be the Swiss. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But did that sow some seeds for you about comedy? Like, were you the kid that put on shows for your parents at dinner parties? And
absolutely. Yeah. I just wanted to be whoever was on screen. That's the thing, you know, and that's where the Jim Carrey came in. I used to just be that person, you know, just be Ace Ventura.
Yeah, you just sort of copy it in a sense. And yeah. Like just imitate
and
it.
That was me for the week, you know. It was like extremely, what is the word? So it was full bodied. I would incorporate that and try and be and do the faces and do the voices and, you know, and same with Cool Runnings. That's where it started to come in.
Were you encouraged by your parents? Did they just tolerate you?
Well, speaking of Suburban Bliss, funnily enough, my auntie was in that. She was...
who is she?
Is it called Quirby? She's the... is her name Quirb? No, there's Quirby. So she's the red-haired Sue Pam Grant, the red-haired, always smoking...
her name is Sue Pam Grant.
That's her name, yes, yeah.
In real life?
In real life.
Okay, and that's your aunt?
Yes, so she was in Suburban Bliss.
Yes.
And I used to watch it. And I was just enamored by the way that how is Susie on my TV, the same one that like Ace Ventura's on?
Yeah.
How do they, are they like in the same building? Like where are they? Like I don't understand it. And then I thought it was live, you know, so I would like phone her after each thing and my parents would set it up and like tell her like, yeah, just pretend that you've just like finished that
just
episode.
Finished,
yeah, and like, oh my word, can you believe what this person did and that person? She's like, oh no, it's crazy. Meanwhile, she had no idea what episode I was talking about.
She played along, which is great.
It was very sweet, yeah. So they were, so Susie went along to drama school. My dad knew the place very well. This was UCT acting school, and in fact she was taught by one or two of the same people that I was, and so they knew the process, they knew how hard it was.
Yeah.
They weren't convinced that you could be an actor, just solely an actor in South Africa. But I think they kind of had an idea that I was gonna like figure it out and find myself somewhere.
I think parents get to a point where they're just like, well, we're just going to have to encourage it.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to have to like go along and just, because I don't think there's much else that this kid can do. Not because of your abilities, but just like they could see where your heart was.
Yeah, exactly. And geez, I mean, it's kudos to them for doing that. I would be terrified if my child told me they wanted to be an actor, especially now knowing how hard it is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they knew anyway, but it can lead you into all sorts of directions as you have with music.
Well, even, I didn't do that much acting, but I remember after a school play, I remember my dad coming to me afterwards going like, I get it. Like, I get it. Mm. Like you must do this. Like, this being just like not what he sort of ever thought I would do, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Or wanted me to do.
Yes.
Lovely, man.
Okay, thank
you. Cool Runnings. One interesting little moment, funny enough, was every now and again the Bioscope's hired as a venue to promote perhaps some show coming up, and there was some crime drama or some American show that was being pushed on like a Discovery Channel. I forget the details, but the actor who came, I recognized him. And then I was like, so what else have you been in? And I realized he was Yul Brynner in Cool Runnings. He was like the serious dude.
Oh, wow.
But this is now like so many years later that you don't quite recognize him. But I was like, oh, my God.
That is crazy.
So it was lovely to meet that dude.
He was a nice guy. Amazing.
Over to high school. Jeez. Where were we in high school?
I was at Bishop's. For those of you who don't know Bishop's, also really, I mean, you got to...
Ganglands.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's honestly a terrible, terrible place for many. Yeah, no.
But ironically, some of these fancy schools can be a terrible place for many.
Definitely, they can. They can. And in fact,
did you have a good time?
I had a great time. I had a great time. School itself was cuck. Yeah, you know, you can't help that. And I go back now, I'm like, how did I not enjoy this place? Look at it.
Yeah.
Look at this place.
Is it pretty?
It's incredible.
I like, imagine it's pretty.
It's unreal. It's like, I can't believe it. I took my fiance there and both of us were like in awe of the place. Like, it's crazy. So yes, I'd say it ironically, I say it with a bit of a joke, but no, at the time it's just school, which is shit, but I boarded. I was a boarder there, which was very much a social thing.
Okay.
So it was like 14 of your best mates from Monday to Friday having a big jaw, and that was lekker. We really had a great time.
Okay. Where is it?
It's in Rondebosch, just on the southern
suburbs. Okay, so despite your parents like living in the same city, it made sense, or it was a decision for you to board?
Yes.
It wasn't out of necessity.
No, not at all. No, I lived 15 minutes from school. Some of the guys lived 5 minutes from school when they boarded. Yeah, it was it became very popular. It wasn't, and then it was, and now the boarding houses are completely full. What happened is a long story, but basically you used to have to board from Sunday till, and only be let out on Saturday, but then things changed and you could go home on Fridays and still have your jaw on Friday. And then anyway, people probably aren't interested in the boarding houses at Bishop's.
No, I'm just curious.
Specifically Founder's House. But yeah, no, it was a fantastic experience. And again, I got a lot of opportunities there as an actor. The extramurals, the music, the performance, the acting, the plays, all the cultural stuff is massively encouraged.
Yeah. So you were in your element at that point.
Definitely.
Were like, this is my place. This is my people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was in a good old fashioned Model C, you know, that classic look, you know how they all built schools at one point. They were like, this is how we're going to build the school. That like three-story brick.
Yes, face brick.
You know, corrugated iron roof, whatever it was.
Classic
Model C. And most of my friends sort of went on to be all the kind of rugby players.
Mm.
And I was like, there's got to be more than this. Like there were players and I was always involved in the plays, but certainly didn't feel like was a fertile ground for culture. It was more like it was built around the, you know, the Saturday rugby game.
Yeah. So how did you make your way into?
I just remember having this like, what the fuck am I doing moment. It was like a rainy rugby practice afternoon in the week, and I remember going, I play in a rock band. Like, what am I doing on a rugby field? And to be honest, I have no memory thereafter of like,
wow.
I liked cricket. I thought cricket was cool.
Mm.
But then in the winters, I started doing the plays. And I was like in the band for the play first. Then I had a little role in the next year. Mm. Then I was like, I think the lead by sort of matric.
Wow. Yeah. Left your bandmates there in the orchestra pit. Sorry, guys. I've moved up in the world. Work harder.
What films came to you around high school?
Did
you watch in the boarding house?
We used to have, TV-wise, we would have there was the TV room and we had like the OC. I don't know if you remember
that
was a big one Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Friends as well. And everyone would come and there would be prep, and prep would be cut in half only to have prep is like your homework time.
Okay.
You know, usually it's an hour, but because Friends is on, it's half an hour. So Wednesday night, only half an hour prep. Yeah. But then, you know, geez, again, you got to look at the comedies that are coming out at that time, like Wedding Crashers.
That was my first Asian.
Yes. I would almost go so far as to put that movie up and probably up in my top, sometimes one, two, or three. It depends what day it is.
No, it's a great movie, man.
Fantastic.
Layered.
Yeah.
Just layered. It's just, you go on such a journey with those two for an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah. It feels longer.
Yeah. It's a beautiful journey.
You know,
and
there's
again,
the initial wedding. Then there's the time at the house. Yes. Then there's the stuff afterwards. Yes.
And then there's the, it's like it's a comedy and a rom-com, but it's like two separate movies in one. It's a rom-com.
Yeah.
It's a bromance comedy. Yeah. It's a romance comedy. And then there's two different romances in there. There's like so many layers that are playing underneath. It's a beautiful
movie.
And
a foxy Jane Seymour.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Do you remember her from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman?
Jeepers, no, I
are
don't.
Are you not that old?
No, I probably am, but I'm not okay. that cultured.
No, there was like a SABC one back in the day. There
oh,
was
my
a,
word.
She worked in the sort of Wild West, and she was this woman who came to a town as the doctor.
Right, wow. And she's the mom, hey? In the...
She's the foxy mom that, yeah, that makes... Yeah.
Kitty cat.
It makes them touch her boob.
Yeah, motorboat.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, wow. Sorry, just anyway. Both got stuck into that image too easily.
Wedding Crash is that's a good high school crush film.
Yeah, it's that whole
because it's also getting a little bit naughtier.
Yeah,
you know where Cool Runnings is that puppy love where you're just holding hands. Yeah, and it's exciting. Yeah, to hold your hand.
Exactly.
Where High School Crush, it's like you.
Yeah,
you're
playing
getting
around
a little bit.
It's
figuring your buddies out.
Exactly. Exactly. Your comedy minds. You know, and then you got Anchorman, which you know, it's not fair. I think that the Oscars don't give out a best comedy. Why is it always a fucking serious movie?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
What's, do you know how hard it is to make a comedy?
I don't think people know. I don't think they know. Yeah.
It's not fair. Look at the impact that Anchorman had on the world. The world. Okay. The Revenant didn't have that impact on like even a quarter of the world or whatever the hell. What the fucking Oppenheimer's coming out now has got no impact on the world like Anchorman had on the world.
Have you seen Ron Burgundy's book by any chance?
No, I haven't. I'd love to.
As the character, he wrote this book, which was like sort of tips about the world.
Oh,
you know, and how to survive. It was called Drop Me Off at the Top or Take Me Off at the Top or something.
I found it
on a whim, and it's like there's a chapter on like how to escape a jailbreak or like how do you... How to survive a jailbreak, and like step one is like get naked. nobody will see it coming, and like it's all just like stupid advice for the world.
That is funny, man. That's fantastic.
Anchorman's an odd one because it's actually quite, well, at least for me, it was quite a unfunny first watch. It was like an awkward, unfunny first watch.
Yeah.
But then you find yourself quoting it.
Yep.
And then you realize like it is funny.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an obvious funny for me. And I think that's just because it was quite a unique brand of humor that I don't think people were ready for.
Absolutely. And that's why I think they struggled to sell it. I think they went to 9 or 10 different studios. And I think on the 10th or 11th, they were so over it by then. Yeah. Will Ferrell was just like taking the piss by then and like just being Ron Burgundy in the pictures. Yeah. At first it started quite serious. And then he was like, fuck, let's just do the thing for them so they can see it.
Yeah.
And one studio said, I think we'll take it. And they thought they were joking because they're like the whole thing had become a joke by then. They were like, so they was like so angry with the process that it was like a complete, and they took it. So you're right in saying that at first you're going, why male anchor people from the 70s in America, which again, no one really knew, we didn't know about. We knew about like Rian Kreivachen, but that wasn't the same as Ron Burgundy. But it became its own culture, and it was so sort of ahead of its time in the sense of the kind of, you know, the male sort of toxic masculinity story. They were already making fun of it before it even kind of evolved as anything. Going, hey guys, fucking men are so dumb. Here's an example of one that's like the most stereotypical person of what like everyone is kind of
critiquing. Yeah.
Yes, at the moment, and that's why I feel that again, there's themes underneath there that it's not just and that's what again good comedy comes with. Yeah. It comes with like educated, serious like understanding of the world and what things mean, so that you can make fun of them. Yeah. And like really, that's I think why it's so hard now to find a comedy. If we fast forward to now, I mean, when was the last, what was the last comedy that came out? I mean, okay, you got all Kevin Hart's movies. You've got like The Rock, who's in comedy. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You're not a comedian. You're a fucking wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Hart is just the same character in each movie.
Mm.
I don't mean to sound like a bitter old comic, but it's those guys, the Vince Vaughns, Owen Wilsons, Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd, those like that, like the original sort of, I don't know if they were called the Brat Pack or Rat Pack, those guys with Judd Apatow.
Yeah, they did get them. They did give themselves a name.
Yeah, there was some sort of name. Vince, those guys, you know, they were real. And then came the Jonah Hills and the Seth Rogans and all the kind of freaks and geeks with Judd Apatow, and they like sort of merged a little bit. You know, with like knocked up and 40-year-old virgin and, you know, the Steve Carells and that. But that's all a generation.
Yeah.
You know, and the, of American comedy, you know, yeah. Then you've got like...
So what's the comedy now is an interesting question.
Is the question, which I'm really struggling with. Like the last time I sort of laughed in a movie was Air, which is not a comedy, you know, about the Nike story, which was, you know, Jason Bateman and Ben Affleck. And, you know, they've got a good like rapport, but it wasn't a comedy. I was like, I laughed and I went, oh, geez, I just laughed in a movie for the first time in fucking 15 years.
Yeah. Well, also here's me also racking my brain going, when was the last like good comedy I saw?
Yeah. That Ask your listeners. Phone in.
Is that your number?
No, it's Ollie's number. I shouldn't have said that. I always give it at like booms and when we go into like post and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll just give his number, which I shouldn't. I could just make up a number.
I still get a couple of insurance cold calls from my ex-business partner.
Oh, really?
And I know that motherfucker must have just gone, okay, now I got a number for you. It's like years later.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Mr. Ells. So
yeah.
Oh, I also have what I call Sipo and Goonie days.
Okay.
Where some guy once, maybe through like Hippo, I don't know how it works, but you like put in your details and it goes out to like every insurance company in the world.
Oh my God.
And must have maybe put in his number wrong, but Mr. Nguni. And I have these days where I'm like, oh, it's going to be an Nguni day.
Yeah.
And they just call me all day. And I'm wrong number. Yeah. Please take me off this list. I'm not Mr. Nguni.
What I sometimes do when I get those calls is really make up like a tragic situation, like really bad, or like something like I'll just go, just put him in the boot, just make tires time up. Hello? Hi.
Maybe I should take out insurance.
Yes.
Under Mr. Nguni.
Yes,
teach him
exactly.
A fucking lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll never forget going to the airport once. We were taking our American friend to the airport so that she could go home, and she had this big, long duffel bag. And I just love the evolution of the joke. So the first joke was, ha ha, this thing looks like a body's in it.
Mm.
And then about 5 minutes later, the joke had evolved to us walking through the airport, occasionally like kicking the bag.
Going, oh, wow.
Shut the fuck up.
Jeez, that is dangerous. I mean, at an airport.
There's some places you can joke, some you can't.
That is hilarious.
Okay, so after Bishops.
Yes, right. Bishops.
Is that how?
That's how you say if you're ever cheering for Bishops. Bishops! Some support from the rear end of Bishops. That's how you say Bishops.
You're just missing a pith helmet at this point.
Yes.
It'd be nice and your glass of tea.
Yes.
No, I'm a little jealous. It sounds like it was amazing.
It was a great at the school.
Yeah.
Fantastic time. No, highly recommend it. Make a lot of money and send your kids to Bishops. I seriously recommend it.
Because sometimes it can go.
Definitely.
It can go bad.
I can imagine.
Someone could have a bad time. And I think a lot of it has to do with the culture.
Yeah.
The sort of the leaders of those
particular
dorms. And,
and
if there were those stupid things that you had to do, you know, like an initiation that was perhaps demeaning or like.
I hated that.
That bullshit. Was there a little bit of
that? There was a bit of that in the boarding house, okay. Especially because I had an older brother, so they would like, pick on me. And I never really understood it because I was all very good friends with them at my, they were at my house on the Sunday morning, and then in the Sunday night, they weren't my friends anymore. That I was like, what? And then I would get punished for that.
That feels difficult,
That was really hard for me. I struggled with that. But just to go back to like the stereotype of the Bishop's boy, it's like, the guys that I know and the friends that I have are like unbelievably incredible human beings. And like I think it's very easy to put like a kind of a jealous like spin on like a stereotype of someone who went to a school like that. But geez, I mean, these are some of the kindest human beings I've ever come across, and generous, and really, you know, you get your idiots and you get your idiots at any school. But I'm learning to like kind of let go of like being ashamed of going to that school. Because of being judged and going like, oh, you were just given the silver spoon and you're probably a big dick because, like, you know, you got, like, your parents had money. Well, they put the money into the school. That's where the money went. So I had to, like, make do with that and make sure that I could do something with it. And, I just think that it gets a hard rap out in the public. And, you know, I think it's important to go, like, you know, you also get cool dudes from there, nice guys, mostly, you know.
Yeah, you at the end of the day... Like, there might be that moment, there might be that judging, which you, as you said, you kind of also have no control over. It's the same as, like, just something as simple with me is just saying that I lived in Bryanston. I went to Bryanston.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's got a comment. Like, yeah. It's amazing. It's the only suburb or school where you say you went there and then they repeat it back to you in a dumb voice.
Yes.
Oh, Bryanston.
Yeah.
And you're like, really?
Yeah, exactly.
But then immediately thereafter, you have to prove your own personality to them and you immediately have to just, you know, just show everyone that, you know, you're a good hard worker and a nice person.
Exactly, which most people are, I think. Most people are out there just being, trying to be just, nice and
just trying to
be
make
cool.
it work.
Yeah.
Totally. No, no. Okay, over to any kind of varsity or first work. Did we study?
We studied at UCT, theatre and performance.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's
what
a lot
of... What is
that
school? Michaela's.
Michaela's is the art school.
That's
which
the
is
art
the
school.
Same
okay.
campus. Okay. So they put us in town. So the main campus is in Newlands.
Up on the hill. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the arts kids are in town and Clerf Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you there?
I was there, yeah. That's where the drama and the art students are. Michaela's is the
actual fine art.
Fine art, and then we didn't really have a name. We were just drama school.
No, the Vitz drama and music, all of that. We were also in the corner of the campus on Vitz, and we were... Vitz film and TV was basically like the entrance was in a parking lot, like in an underground parking lot.
Wow, that is incredible.
We were in this kind of like little bunker in the corner of the school. It was lovely.
Wow, yeah, they don't seem to like we're not the poster children of our universities.
And did we dig it?
Yeah, I had a great time out there.
Okay,
also
acting.
Yeah, very very. I was quite. Set on proving to the world that I was not just a comedic actor, but I could also play.
Did we get serious?
Serious. We did get quite serious. We got very serious. A lot of Shakespeare. I wrote my thesis on playing Shakespeare, on how to play Shakespeare for more like a practical handbook to make it more accessible to students and to audiences, like now, contemporary, not messing with the language because that's apparently quite...
Quite an important
precious.
Part of it.
But how to play it so that it's more easily understandable. So I really loved, you know, a really great film is by a guy called Kenneth Branagh, who...
Sure.
Yeah, fantastic actor. I think he's just... His film has just come out on one of his latest on Netflix, I think, called Belfast.
Belfast.
Yes. Yeah. Ken Branagh was my favorite Shakespeare actor. He was...
Sure. He put up his hand to be like, I'll do those.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And he made that Hamlet film where he was blonde and he had the moustache, and I was obsessed with that film, and he did amazingly. So it was one of my favorite films.
You would say it is?
I wouldn't.
Oh, you wouldn't?
It was Hamlet, but I was obsessed with it. I couldn't really compare it to something like Shutter Island, for example. You know, there you got DiCaprio and Ruffalo and then Ken Branagh, who's fantastic, and, you know, Michael Gambon, and, you know, playing the king. But I would probably say that... So if anyone is interested in a Hamlet, go and watch Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet.
Also, on Hamlet... You realize that's fucking Lion King.
Yes, it is. It is. Father passes away and he tries to avenge.
Uncle takes over.
Yeah.
He disappears.
Very much so. I didn't even notice that. That's incredible.
Have I just?
Yeah, blown my mind a bit. Yeah,
because when
crazy.
I heard that for the first time, I was like, oh my God.
Wow, that is crazy.
You know the famous Hamlet where he sort of holds up the skull of his dad?
Alas, poor Yorick.
That's the Mufasa in the sky.
That's crazy.
Same moment.
Wow, I'm going to have to go and watch that.
Show.
Jeez.
That's today is old.
Yo.
The only thing that didn't happen is sort of the uncle taking the mom as a new...
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
That would be too much.
Yes, yes. That was he says, the funeral baked meats did coldly furnish forth the marriage tables. They used the meats of the funeral still to be served at the wedding, which is the, you know, because Gertrude moved on to, which was... A beautiful line, you know, that's how pissed off Hamlet is.
You delivered that so well.
Thank you. Well, I wrote my thesis on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also did so much Macbeth. There was a Macbeth in high school, and then I crewed on a production at Vitz with Macbeth, and you know every single line, and you don't think you know it after many years.
But that's...
And then when that Coen Brothers black and white Francis McDormand, Denzel Washington film came out, I was like, oh, I know every line of this play. And I know every single line.
And that is the beauty of Shakespeare, because he's written it in such it's music. It's the iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
That's how you remember it. There's something in your brain that da-dum, 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 da-dum. that you that like sticks in your mind, and that's why it's so easy, weirdly, to learn the lines of, because you go, as an actor, what? How the fuck? This isn't even how I'm learning another language, but for some reason, the rhythm—it's the rhythm that stays, and I'm sure that's what you have as well with your musical background, and that's why you're able
maybe,
to.
I don't know, just but I could appreciate the writing. What? Okay, so what film would we perhaps pin to Varsity?
Yeah, I'm gonna
start of career.
I'm gonna go with something like I don't know if it's out there, but I am gonna go with Shutter Island. Is that
cool?
Weird? Is
no.
that okay? It's,
great.
It's, is it? I mean, yeah. It's not
it's,
a...
It's yours.
Okay.
It no, there's
you.
No judgment.
And can I go with an anti-movie?
What movie?
What I didn't like.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Inception.
Okay.
It annoyed me because I didn't understand it. And I felt the same way about Oppenheimer.
Okay.
And they're both Chris Nolan movies.
Yeah.
And so they
Oh, then don't even try with Tenet.
Oh, goodness. No,
don't even try.
Okay.
Lordy, that is difficult.
Okay. Are you a Chris Nolan fan?
I appreciate him. Sure. But I mean...
I think you have to be intelligent, and that's not what I am.
No, but you're a smart guy. No. But Shutter Island also takes some concentrating.
Yes, it does. And it's a fantastic... It's a... You know, my mom was a psychologist.
Okay.
My late mom. She is no longer with us, but she taught us a lot of the mind. She didn't try and analyze us, but she understood. She gave us a good understanding of how people think, and you know, that's also part of why I fell into acting, because it's really character analysis, it's psychoanalysis. Mm, mm. So that was the first time that I really got sucked into like a psychological thriller. You know, that how does that happen? How does mental illness take over a mind so greatly that you are in a different reality?
It's wild.
It's a complete psychosis, you know.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, so that's where I think, because of my psychological, you know, and then you can watch it again like right afterwards and see it from
a different angle.
Yes,
now
from that it's all
I've only ever watched it once. I should watch it twice.
I think because then you know what and then you see the different things. So yeah, and you know, DiCaprio, I think that was sort of his sweet spot in many ways.
He always plays that sort of like back up against the wall.
Yeah.
You know, like running out of options.
Yes.
Just fucking unraveling of a human.
White knuckling it.
Yeah. Have you seen Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yes, loved it.
Yeah, just sort of slowly just unravels.
And that's great. That's the hero's journey. That's the narrative. Yeah. That's the arc which we want, you know.
Yeah.
He's able to get us to empathize with him and want him to win so badly, you know, really like just... I can be on his team. That's what he does all the time. He's got this like thing that he's, as you say.
But
like,
the Killers of the Flower Moon's tough because after a while you don't want to be on his team.
Well, that's the thing, but he's tricked us.
Now he's like, now I'm conflicted because I don't want you to win.
Exactly, and that's
I want her to survive.
And you still find yourself in this, and that's why it's, I think, such a great film, is that you find yourself conflicted and you're like, and that's what great actors can do, is that, you know, great villains are just, you know, you find yourself kind of liking them, and you know, they're just, a villain is meant to be someone who you play a villain as if you are right, this is the right thing to do, not I'm evil, I'm trying to make evil, I need this is my goal, this is my motivation.
Yeah.
And that's what he did in Flower Moon, you know. He just played it like I'm right. This is how you do it, and I'm not an evil witch. So yeah, Shutter Island was a good one.
Cool.
Real acting. Some of the first time I saw some serious, you know, Ruffalo. I didn't really know of him. Beautiful, soft kind of like just a delicate,
he was in it,
delicate performance from him.
Have you seen Poor Things?
No, I started it. I'm in a very difficult, dark place with films at the moment.
Okay.
I really struggled with Oppenheimer. Poor Things. She felt very acty to me. She was acting all the time. Very acty. And
I could see how you could think that.
I struggled with that. I didn't even get to Ruffalo.
Oh, because he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's so fun. And you know what? He actually redeems the film in so many ways because he's such a ridiculous character.
Okay.
Human. He actually brings a lot of comedy to the movie.
Okay.
Which makes that movie a lot easier to digest.
Okay.
Because otherwise, on its own, it's quite out there, quite bizarre, quite bonkers.
Mm.
But he actually brings like a levity to it. He's such a silly, ridiculous human.
Okay. So I'll carry on
for you. I think you should give it a go.
I'll text you.
Yeah, because I also, over the course of our chat, like to get a movie for you to rent from our video store here.
That would be great.
And I think Poor Things, I think I should be that person that goes, no, give it a
okay.
try.
Okay. Can I do another one after that as well?
Mm.
But we'll get to that.
Mm.
Okay, great. So I can take two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll allow it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Because I'm already in Poor Things, so I feel
you've already sort of rented it.
Yeah. So.
Okay, we'll try to find you something else.
Okay, great. Great, because I'm looking for a few.
Did we cover this?
The university.
We did.
Shutter
Island, yeah. Cool.
Psychological thriller, that's where I started getting into those kinds of movies.
Our last one is the film that you could settle down with.
Mm.
The film you could marry, so to speak. You're about to get married?
I am.
Yeah?
I am.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats.
To a beautiful, amazing Afrikaans woman named...
Me
Marie.
Too.
Oh, really?
Beautiful, amazing, and also Afrikaans.
Oh, my word. Air high five, amazing. Podcast high five. Jeez, how are you finding that?
Very, very good. Very, very easy, very happy.
Incredible.
Yeah, lovely,
you are married.
Lovely family. No, engaged. We're going to get married at the end of the year.
Fantastic. What date?
Yeah. Early November. 5th, 6th.
Jeepers. I'm 16th.
Lovely.
Amazing.
November.
Yes. Wow, that's an incredible thing. Yeah. And where is she from? Is she from Joburg?
Yeah, Joburg. She also studied at UCT.
Ah, okay.
So she spent a little bit of time here, so that's why. And they've got a house here in Cape Town, so that's why we
fantastic
down for the weekend. That's why.
And how's your brying?
My brying's okay.
Is it? Have you had to bry for her family?
Once or twice.
Okay, and
but I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. Funny enough that. Takes over the bride.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm learning as well. And I think that's
just always had friends that were just always the guys that took over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've never been the briar.
Me too, until I met Marie. And then I found myself wanting to just, like, I don't know, sort of prove in some way that I could do it. Because I enjoyed it. I enjoy the process. I'd never really even made a fire before.
How are you in cooking?
Not great. So that's,
I was fucking atrocious until...
Oh.
Until I split with my ex.
Yeah.
And then that was just before COVID. And then I learned how to cook in COVID. I realized how kind of useless I was.
Jeez.
You know, just at like cooking vegetables.
Yeah.
And like
simple
preparing
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah.
We did a buddy of mine joined me in lockdown. And we had that, those kind of meals that came to you, you know, with the ingredients.
Yes.
With the instructions. Cook. Yeah. That vibe. And we learned a lot, eh?
Oh, fantastic. You do.
Okay, and you just feel like so much more useful after that.
Yeah, and it can be actually quite enjoyable.
I was a Willy's meal guy, man.
Yeah. No,
punch, 2.5 minutes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you learn so much and it's so fun and you kind of experiment. You go, oh, like what about a little bit of this in there? Oh,
that's a little splash of that.
Exactly. No, it's fun. Okay. Yeah, no, huge. Glad we spoke about that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so you want to know the settle down, the Marie.
Yeah, upon us, getting to that point in our lives where we're settling down, is there a film you think, it could be a film you've said before?
Yes.
You know?
I must say, something that's just stuck with me for years has been The Green Mile.
Interesting.
Yeah. Again, psychologically dark movie.
I think the book was darker.
Oh, really? I didn't even read it.
Yeah, it's a Stephen King book.
Is it?
I think who, what was his name? John Cotton. What was his name?
Yeah.
Cotton.
Yeah.
Cotton
yeah.
was certainly his name.
Yeah.
Because you get the inklings of something a bit more demonic and weird in the movie. But it's just, you know, when he opens his mouth and that stuff comes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you think that that's perhaps a bit more figurative or magical. But I think in the book there's a bit more to it.
Interesting.
So it's all about a dude on death row.
Yes.
And so pretty much the whole movie takes place with him. And it was Michael Clarke Duncan played the guy who was this big black guy.
Huge.
And
guy.
And he was found with two dead girls. White girls.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's why he was immediately arrested in this kind of Old South.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks plays the warden.
Correct.
And then there's that one guy who's the fucking best villain because you just want to jump into the movie and clap him.
It's Sam Rockwell, isn't it?
Sam Rockwell is one of the dudes, but there's that other guy.
The French guy.
I forget his name.
Or the other warden.
The other warden.
Oh, yes.
And he just plays such a good villain.
jeez.
Dead Man Walking, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, God. Incredible. No, no. There's that's, some performances in there.
It's man. Like Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator. You yeah. just want to clap him.
Yes, exactly.
And you're like, that is just such a good villain.
Absolutely. Huge, real, heavy, great performances.
Yeah,
beautiful story.
Yeah, why did you gravitate to
that? I don't know. I think it sticks out. Yeah, it sticks out. I think I also like didn't really understand, didn't know that you could be sentenced to death for crime. It was quite an early. I watched.
Yeah,
early
sorry, that's
on.
Right. So he's on death row, and I think he does die in the end.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
They kill him in
yeah,
the
which is again like you know that's something like it's not the happy ending.
But he might. I think the drama is the fact that he might not have done it.
Yes.
Because he seems like such a sweet individual, like
correct.
Such a nice guy. And so
yeah.
the conflict in the movie is Tom Hanks getting to know this guy
yes.
that looks scary because he's this big,
yeah.
dark-skinned man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But over the course of the movie, you come to really love him.
Yeah.
And so like it yeah. is heartbreaking.
And it's very sad. And it's the first time that I sort of realized, wow, you can have a sad ending
yeah.
in a movie.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and I was like, and that really stuck with me. And that I found beautiful, that you can actually, it doesn't always have to be this thing. And it like messed with my head a lot. Yeah. It changed my view on films.
Yeah. When do you think you watched it?
Jeez, I must have watched that like probably in school, you
yeah,
know, but
yeah.
it stuck with me.
I love that idea of it sort of opening up a new room
yeah.
in your house where you're like, yeah. oh, sad endings.
Yes,
that
exactly.
sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's yeah. you know, and that's why it stuck with me, and probably something that I could, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. You know, what does it mean? Is it like the Desert Island Discs stuff?
It's,
where you,
it's somewhere along that line
yeah.
where it's like the film that kind of
that you would go take with you.
Yeah, that yeah. you would take with you. So it's not necessarily it being a film that, you know, you'd always watch.
Yeah,
but it's just the one that when I describe, you know, what could be one of the greatest films for you
yeah.
that made an impact for you.
Yeah.
It's the one that kind of comes to you first is what I think is interesting.
Yeah. That's what it is because yeah. because of the structure, the narrative that changed in my mind that you can play with that. Yes, there's always the same, you know, Aristotle's poetics, but he changed that a little bit, which was
what's Aristotle's poetics?
It's the hero's journey. Of the exact narrative of there's a inciting incident, the person
sure.
has a falling, they have a goal, a motivation,
they get it
in the end.
It's always quite a triumphant story.
Yes, mm. that's any movie, any series, anything will follow that 100%.
Yeah.
There's no way of getting
out
of that.
And speaking of going back to the very first one, the Cool Runnings.
Classic.
You often, when you're watching that sport movie and you get near the end, it's always interesting to go, okay, well, you've got one of two routes now.
Yes.
You're either going to get it
yeah.
or you're not going to win,
yes.
but it was all about trying.
And that's what, yes, exactly. And that's what catharsis is.
Yeah.
That's the end part.
But
that.
But you got this far.
Yes, exactly.
And people still gave you a standing ovation for trying.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
it's like
exactly.
that's the,
so you won in that way.
You still won,
achieved
yeah.
your goal, but in a different way. That's Aristotle's
yeah,
point.
I think with Green Mile, like nobody won.
No.
Nobody
no,
won.
No, it was very dark. It was very, very dark,
oh,
but beautiful
God.
in the same way.
Okay.
But I must mention, I was going to mention, am I allowed to ask you, I'm sure your
yeah,
guests
sure,
ask
sure.
you what yours has been, and does yours change?
It feels pretty steadfast. For me, perhaps the film I could settle down with is Amelie.
Ah, yes. Oh, my God.
Which perhaps also says something about me, like, you know, just this magical adventure, just wonder. And,
oh, my God.
And it's just, you know, charming.
Yeah.
In a way, like, you know, you had perhaps a little bit more of a, not negative moment, but more of a, yeah, maturing moment where you're like, oh, life can be sad.
Yes, yes.
For me, it was more like life can be wonderful and colorful. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen a movie like this. Where the, you know, it's this beautiful French narration, and you know, one of the opening scenes of Amelie is wind is blowing at this French cafe, and the narrator was like, the two glasses are dancing in the wind.
Wow.
You know, and you're like, what a unique way of looking at the world.
Beautiful. Love that.
Sort of said something to me.
Jealous of that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And the grade is just like, yeah, the color is just like, it's that red and blue. And you're just the hell? I've
so
never seen
colorful.
That before. Yeah.
When did mom pass away?
About 13 years ago when I was 21. Okay. So 14.
I just wonder whether perhaps that sort of green mile sort of darkness sort of was at about the same time.
But definitely. There was that. Also, that's, I think, also why I related so deeply, I think, to Hamlet. Not that my aunt married my father.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of stuff there that, like, I definitely.
Sometimes people use films to sort of just help.
Yeah, cathartic.
In those moments.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think, you know, a lot of my kind of also like dark humor comes in there. I'm not afraid to really go in. And I think that's also why I'm frustrated with, what I wanted to say about when we were talking about what comedy movies there are out there. I think people are so so scared, terrified to make stuff because they're so scared of offending. And you'll see now the comedians have in fact overshot the mark a little bit.
Yeah.
They were fighting back against, don't tell us what to say. Don't tell us, you know, you clicked on Dave Chappelle, so you're watching this.
Yeah.
You clicked on Ricky Gervais. You don't have to, but you bought this ticket. No one forced you to, and now you're complaining.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works. The reason why we're out there is to make fun of the world.
Like, yeah.
Just because Ricky Gervais says it, just because you offended
doesn't
mean...
But Ricky's so smart because his comedy is about the construction of that joke and the construction of offense and how you could get offended. And
exactly.
He jokes at that very idea.
Yes.
Like, and so if you're not concentrating, you think, I should be offended by this. But you're like, no, listen to what he's fucking talking about.
Exactly. And he does it so beautifully and so delicately.
So smart.
Yeah. These guys are really, I mean, listen, you got a crass comedian up on at the Bioscope and they're just telling dick jokes and whatever. Yeah. And then you're like, mate, that's not really, it's neither here nor there. You know. Like,
and we've actually, funny enough, I've had a few folk who do go to those shows and when they've spotted one or two, where they were like, oh, that wasn't a good moment. That feedback gets back to me, and we don't encourage those guys back.
Yeah.
I understand that you could be exploring and you were trying something. I do want the Bioscope to be a gym where you figure that out. And I understand you could sometimes find yourself in some shaky waters.
Mm.
How you get yourself out is quite interesting in that moment.
Yes.
But when some guys have like doubled down, it's like, okay, you're not welcome back, man. There's no space for that.
Yeah, read the room. I mean, you know, like, and that's also part of the, you know, it's hard for the organizer. Who runs the gig?
It's effectively helmed by Shanray van Wyk.
Shanray, yeah. So he would sort of know the guys and girls that are going on there, but you also don't know what they're going to say. So.
No, exactly. And I do like the fact that it could be anything, but it's about when in that moment where you're like, oh, I'm in a hole.
Yeah.
How do you get yourself out?
Yeah.
Says a lot.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Have you found yourself...
Many times.
When you're like, oh, I fucked up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
I was exploring the line and I've now just realized I am past it.
Yes, no, I've done that. Done that many times. And I would sometimes get frustrated with the crowd and turn on them a bit, which went even worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was very confident this joke was going to go well and then they don't get it. And then I'm like, fuck you guys. And then it's like, oh, no, they don't like that, you know.
No crowd likes best to be told that.
No, what's best to do really is just to admit that was a cuck joke, make a little bit of a joke out of it. And
find yourself out. Clearest exit to get out of the hole.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, geez, I'm so glad that the comedy scene is going. And thank you for encouraging it and holding a space for it. Dear people.
And I don't think you see it as a retirement.
No.
Because I think you can always come back if you want. I definitely understand that feeling where you're like, okay, that little time is past, but you might get a yearning for it again. So
absolutely.
Just know that if you're in Joburg, we've got ourselves a gym every Sunday.
Thank you. And it's definitely not the end for me at all.
And also in what you're making, if there's stuff. One of the little moments you and I connected was when you made that very funny short film in COVID.
Right.
With you and a partner. It was just a fictional partner.
Yes, hey?
And,
yes.
And it was just the jokes of what it's like to be living and forced to be together. And
yes.
This, you know, you've spoken for the last however long about character arcs.
Yes.
Arcs and how the, you know, and
yes.
I just found it so funny. It was just such a great little short film. I think it was about 10 minutes.
Yes.
And it just perfectly encapsulated just that, you know, what it meant to be living yes. together in lockdown.
Yes.
And I reached out to you and I was like, can I just please show this
yes.
as a short?
Yeah.
Because we were at that point where we'd moved from Mabuneng to 44 Stanley.
Yeah.
It was all very exciting to have this economy again.
Yeah.
People were ready to come out.
Yeah.
And here was this great little short film that perfectly like encapsulated what we just gone through.
Amazing. Thank
you. Know,
you.
Banging for the healthcare workers.
Yes, yes. And it ends also not in a great way.
Lovely. It's just I don't think I'm giving it away, but it just ends in that moment where both the male and the female are facing each other and he says, she says, I'm pregnant. He says,
I hate you.
I hate you. Where is that now? Is it just on YouTube? Or?
Yeah, it is.
What was it called?
Love Locked.
Love Locked.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so great. And it was just such a fun little thing to just start our Bioscope screenings
I'm
with
so
glad. As we made our way out of that crazy time.
Yeah.
And we were now back in cinema. So well, thank you for being a part of it. You were sort of, in theory, one of the first films to screen in our new location.
I'm so.
And you were just open to it, which was great.
Absolutely. Was nice. Thank you for showing it. Thank you for showcasing the work and for having me on this show.
Yeah. Thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it. It's just lovely to get to know each other. And I also think it's a bit of a selfish thing for me, but it's my chance to like actually get to know guys that I do know, but just that much better.
It must be amazing. I
because
mean,
where do you get 40 minutes just uninterrupted conversation?
Straight up, it's like a mandate.
Yeah,
but without the romance.
Yeah, you know?
But with a little bit of romance as well.
Bit.
Yeah,
lovely, man. But Great. Listen, thank you for your time. All the best.
Thank you.
And I'll see you down the road, man.
See you down the road.
All right, lekker chat, lekker dude. You guys fine? How was the Scrabble game?
I lost.
You lost.
Surprisingly. He let me win, yeah.
We are going to watch Furiosa this week, which is exciting.
Mm.
We've been invited to the advanced screening. I'm very curious to see whether this is going to be a film for the Bioscope. I'm apprehensive with any film that says watch it on the biggest screen possible because the Bioscope is not the biggest screen yeah. possible. So there are these movies that are being made for IMAX. But I think it's a bit more of an art piece. And I think by virtue of it being such a beautiful masterpiece of filmmaking art, I think it could work for the Bioscope.
Yeah, I think so as well.
But perhaps not,
Miller,
in, yeah, perhaps not in week one because perhaps all the real diehards will go and watch it in IMAX. But you know, I still think that there's maybe some space for it at the Bioscope.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we'll see.
I think you got the right audience here. As
yeah.
Because well, it's a mixture of, it's a great popcorn movie for like RT people as well. You know
yeah,
I mean?
It's a little crossover.
Yeah, because Fury Road was that. Like people fucking loved it, mainstream and RT.
Yeah. Know? I'll never forget watching it with a buddy. Shout out to Trev. Where it was such a mandate.
Yeah.
Met each other. How's it? Cool. How are you? Good. Got the popcorn. Got in the movie. Shut the fuck up for 2 hours. Came out. Was like, that was cool, eh?
Yeah.
Cheers. Bye. Drove home. And then I think I messaged him later. I was like, did you drive like an absolute fucking maniac all the way home? He's like, you know I did. And that was the end of the mandate.
Yeah, we're going to the screening dressed as war boys.
We've
got to like bald heads, pale skin.
Do you have a bald cap for me? Because I'm not going
to
shave.
You're ready to shave your head, right? Your wife won't mind.
I mean, I will.
Okay, cool.
What can we and silver spray paint that we spray across our mouths? Witness me!
Yeah. We'll do that the whole movie. It'll be very obnoxious and annoying.
I'm going to get dressed up like a Dune character.
Yeah, exactly. Just caked in dust. Yeah.
You are wanting to advocate for the fact that we should dress up to these advanced screenings, right?
Thematic dress up. So when we went to challenges, we're like, oh, we should have gone dressed as tennis players. So this, we should go as the War Boys. Okay. You know, we shouldn't. I don't want to do that.
All right. Lekker, it's going to be cool. And thank you for everyone listening thus far. Our home base is thevideostore.co.za. There's links to other guest episodes. Someone similar to Glenn is a person like Donovan Goliath, Temba, Robin. These are people who are doing really interesting things with production, where they are also Boa Bosch. He was a guest previously. These are people who are funny writers and creators that are producing their own content, getting paid to do a lot of this stuff, coming up with their own ideas, quickly making them. It's really cool to see the future of this kind of advertising, where it's kind of built perhaps a little bit more for social media as opposed to these big commercial adverts. Although I know Glenn does those too, but it's exciting and it's great to just see the comical brain and imagination behind these people. And we just hope to see you again next week. So yeah, come and wander in next week. We've got episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for a lovely day.
Like her. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Cheers, Rusky.
Cheers.